AAT Bird's weekly report is the Eagle News, notes, and analysis you need.
Fires for the end zone. Intercepted. 30, the 20, the 10, the 5. Touchdown. Matt Ware. Matt Ware. Midfield.
He steps up. He's hit and falls forward. And he fumbles the football and the Eagles have it.
It's good. And the Eagles win.
It's all birds. All the time.
How about them Eagles?
And welcome to another edition of the AAT Birds Weekly Report. I myself, Johnny Oleka, is joined as always by Chip at Chip for the Birds. And we're going to talk a little bit about the Eagles. So we have.
Is that what we're going to do? I love it.
Yeah, just a little bit. But got some news coming in. Chip and I went over our stay or go Eagles free agents. I feel like it's something that's a little bit interesting with. Free agency about a month away here. Got other things planned in the future weeks, so this is kind of the best time to, you know, get going on that. See what kind of Eagles players from last year we want to keep, and see who potentially we just want to let go. And of course, we have the Hassan Reddick, which I think I want to start
shenanigans. There. Yeah, we got to start there because it's the most recent, it's the most current, and it is once again the biggest example of the Eagles having to be involved in Super Bowl Sunday. Even though they're not involved in Super Bowl Sunday.
Yeah, so of course a report comes out on Super Bowl Sunday from Ian Rappaport about Hassan Reddick and that the Eagles are letting him seek a trade, basically letting him see what's out there. Jordan Schultz then reported 2 days later about it, and of course Hassan did also comment on that as well, that he did not request a trade. The Eagles, of course, Jordan Schultz mentioned that the Eagles did, you know, let his representatives go out there and are telling him, hey, go and see what you are worth. Cause I guess they're at an impasse in contract negotiations. Hassan Reddick has no more guaranteed money left on his deal and he has 1 year left. So it's, let's see what he wants to be paid like a top pass rusher. He was, let's say he did outperform his contract. That is
sure.
That is true. The Eagles gave him a 3 year, $45 million deal in the 2022 offseason. So it was a very, very friendly deal in terms of him betting on himself. And right now he wants to get paid like the top pass rushers in the NFL. So the Eagles, of course, have a decision to make what they want to do. Of course, they can do nothing and let him just play on his last year. Or they can extend them, or they can trade them. So there's a couple options here. How about we start with like this? What do you want to do? What do you think the Eagles should do with Hassan Reddick?
So a couple things here. Number one, you, in my opinion, cannot get rid of your best defensive player. And Hassan Reddick for the last 2 years has been our best defensive player. Now, you can say all the kinds of things of maybe this year there were portions of the year that were down year. But he still finished with double-digit sacks, and we saw that the coordinator was fired because clearly something wasn't clicking in the locker room. We've heard all the other stuff. Even with all that, Hassan Reddick is a top-tier defensive talent. I think you have to figure out a way to keep your star players. And when you look at the Eagles overall, and Johnny and I, we're going to get into this about who we think we should keep and who should go. I think you look at this team and there's definitely weaknesses, we know that, but Hassan Reddick isn't one of them. And if you're going to lose Brandon Graham this year or next year, if you have, you know, guys like Josh Sweat, who at some point are going to get huge deals, I think you got to get Hassan Reddick to restructure a deal and extend him a little bit. And I have no issue if they're saying, oh, you can explore a trade. They said the same thing to Darius Slay. Darius Slay around this time last year was exploring a trade. Nobody was interested. Nobody wants a 29, 30-year-old pass rusher. Now, Hassan Reddick will get big money if he hits the free agent market, but he's not. It would be a trade. And right now, people aren't interested in trading for that. And he doesn't want to go. He wants to be here, but he also wants market value. And I think that people who got upset and offended by that need to realize that there is people who are trying to fleece the organization, and then there are people who are simply demanding to get paid what they are worth. And I don't think that Hassan Reddick is in the wrong here for demanding that.
No, listen, he outplayed his contract, and we've mentioned that. The thing about it is, the Eagles have decisions to make. There are players who are in line for extensions. Devontae Smith, Landon Dickerson, Josh Sweat. There's some guys that are on last year's year. So listen, there's decisions to be made. And it comes down to this. You drafted Nolan Smith in the first round last year, hoping he takes that next step. They did just sign Julian Okwara from the Detroit Lions, who was released, and it was signed to a one-year deal. He's a young 2020 third-round pick from Notre Dame.
They gave him a decent chunk of money for that one-year deal.
Now, it's up to $2.6 million. I want to see how much is guaranteed, because last year they did a lot of that, and it was like $1.07 million. It was barely anything. So, again, we'll see what that is, but that's another edge rusher, another pass rusher, and – to me, I was kind of going back and forth thinking about, when you look at Hassan Reddick, hey, maybe you get a trade, maybe you get a second round pick, maybe you get a second and a fifth for him, maybe you'll be able to. And then I thought about it like this. In my eyes, we've wanted these top tier pass rushers so long.
Yes.
To be able to have one. And yes, I understand he's 29 years old. He's going to be going to 30. You don't want to have to pay.
Well, this is really his last big contract.
You know, tons of money into their 30s and everything. You want to try to get some, you want to get a little bit younger. And, you know, Josh Sweat is a little bit younger. But the way I look at it like this is, Hassan Reddick is a premium pass rusher. Will get you double digit sacks.
He, in my opinion, is of that layer for the Eagles of the TJ Watts and the Myles Garretts when it comes to importance to the team.
Yeah. So I'm willing to give him that contract. And of course, if the Eagles do extend them, they do get some, you know, cap relief in terms of this year and the way you structure it. And there's all different things when we get into that, which, you know, we talk about later on when we get into free agency and all that good stuff. But I think Hassan Reddick needs to be on this team in 2024. I don't think there is an avenue where you need to trade him, because in my eyes, this defense struggled so badly last year. And then you're going to take one of your top tier players from that defense and expect to add some draft picks. And hopefully you're able to get some young players and get, to me, it makes no sense. The player that makes sense to deal would be Josh Sweat. If you don't want to pay him the contract. Now, these both guys are under contract. So, you know, in the eyes of it, Josh Sweat's not going to be saying, hey, I want a contract extension, because he struggled last year, especially late down in the season.
He didn't do much. He was a ghost. He was a ghost.
In terms of, you know, production, sack production, what you're doing. So he's not going to be out there clamoring for a contract. So if you have to trade one of them, I think Josh Sweat is the guy you deal. Do not trade Hassan Reddick. I think you need to give him an extension. You need to keep a player of his magnitude on this defense, because like you mentioned, and we'll get into it a little bit later about guys like Fletcher Cox and Brandon Graham. And you have some leaders on this defensive side of the ball that may not be here come 2024. You need a veteran. You need some veterans. You need some guys in there that you can count on. And Hassan Reddick is a guy that you can count on to get double digit sacks that they weren't able to have in recent years.
And I think that the other thing, again, I've said this a million times on the show, and since this is technically the first show of the official NFL offseason, I'll say it again so that everyone knows where my gauge and my meter is. The way I judge an offseason very simply is, from the day the season ends to the day the next season begins, do they get better or worse? In my mind, you can go through all the free agents, you can go through all the draft picks. You are not going to get somebody better than Hassan Reddick to play off the edge on the Philadelphia Eagles defense. You're just not. So if for some reason Hassan Reddick is not on this team in 2024, the decision is made. The team got worse. And you begin closing that Super Bowl window just a little bit more. Hassan Reddick is an elite defensive talent who wants to be here. And I think, you know, you mentioned, Johnny, the fact that we're always clamoring for these defensive players. We're always clamoring for these elite edge rushers. We have one. So why would you get rid of him?
Yeah, and I understand if you look at the free agent market and you look at what's going to be out there of a potential being able to, you know, if you're able to trade Hassan Reddick and get a couple draft picks, and then you go on a lesser market and try to get guys who aren't going to cost you as much and hopefully get some production out of multiple guys, I think that, I don't know, that's a plan that I just don't understand because I saw a ton of guys comment about that, about mm-hmm. getting some lower level, lower tier type of players. There's a couple pass rushers that I'd like to add, especially guys who were with Fangio and all that. I get that, but I don't want to do that after getting rid of your elite pass rusher in Hassan Reddick. And it's, to me, listen, this is the way that I kind of put it is, if he's going to be a free agent, then okay, he's going to see what's out there and he may get Agreed. A bigger deal out there. I get that. But the thing is, he's not a free agent, and you don't have to rely on hopefully being able to sign one or two guys to be able to fill his role. Because remember, when guys are free agents, they could talk to anybody. They could sign with anybody. Mm-hmm. He's under contract. So he can go out there and talk to guys. And if they say, okay, you're worth this much, and the Eagles are able to work something out, like you mentioned with Darius Slay, who's able to seek a trade, he put his name out there and, he's back. He was back with the Eagles, and he's going to be here in 2024 as well. But I think you just can't get rid of him and expect to get production out of that position when he's outplayed. He's 16 sacks his first year. I think he had 11 sacks this year. So for me, it's like you look at the early 2000s defense with Jim Johnson and Hugh Douglas. Now, Hugh Douglas, they were able to get him from the Jets in 98. Mm-hmm. And you look at the production that he put up. And yes, okay, he did leave after the 2002 season for a bigger contract with Jacksonville. And of course, he struggled and came back in 04, but he was a free agent. But that's like saying in the 2002 season or 2001 season, getting rid of a 29-year-old Hugh Douglas because, you know, he may want a little bit of money and you can get a couple draft picks.
So, for me,
That makes no sense. You want a guy that can get you double digit sacks.
For me, there's layers to this, right? So first off, bringing up your Jim Johnson defense, right? Why was that defense ultimately successful? Because you had elite talent on all levels. So you had your Hugh Douglas on the line. You had your Hollis Thomases on the line, and they played really well together. You had in the middle of the field, you had your Jeremiah Trotters. In the secondary, you had your Brian Dawkins and your Troy Vincents and your Bobby Taylors, right? You had those guys so that there were strengths at all levels. You look at, and even though they lost and they gave Steve Wilkes the boot, which again, mind-boggling to me, but look at the 49ers, right? The 49ers defense, what did they do at the trade deadline? They added a exceptional pass rusher to complement an already great pass rush.
And the thing is, before the trade deadline, they also added Randy Gregory from Denver. So they added two pass rushers.
They added Randy Gregory. They added Chase Young. In the middle of the field, they had Dre Greenlaw. They had Fred Warner. The secondary, they still lost for a reason. And you saw when you have levels to this team, and this was my whole point, when you have levels to a defense, it's fine. Right now, we know that the Eagles defense is not a level defense. We have a very good pass rush. We have a pathetic linebacking core, and we have a secondary that got absolutely torched in the second half of the season when scheme fell apart. So you have to build levels.
Yeah. And listen, depth was a huge thing because they didn't rotate guys. There was a lot of tired guys. Hassan Reddick and Josh Sweat played so many more snaps than they did the previous season. And I think the way you look at it, and two additions to the team that I think is kind of going to the direction of getting more bodies in there, getting some talented guys, and also taking shots at guys that potentially it's a low risk, high reward. One is Julian Okwara that we saw they signed yesterday, a young, young player, which also his brother Romeo, who he played with in Detroit, is a veteran, is older than him. He is also a free agent. So just thinking about that, but he's 26 years old. And 6'4", 239 pounds. He's a stand-up a Nolan Smith type of edge rusher. Yep. That's what he is. He's not a, you know, everyone thought outside linebacker, think he's a, you know, off the ball linebacker. That's not what he is. He is a pass rusher. He is a, that's what he does. And that's what he's going to fit in this 3-4 Fangio defense.
And another guy, as we're talking about replacing, and hold on, because I just want to hit on this while it's still fresh here. You mentioned kind of like replacing guys and adding guys in and sometimes letting guys go. Look at the linebacking corps from this past year, right? They got rid of good linebackers who were successful with their next teams with the belief that N'Kobe Dean was going to be enough. N'Kobe Dean barely played the season. That Nolan Smith was going to be enough. How much did he really see the field? So you cannot, again, if you were going to replace Hassan Reddick for any reason, you would need to bring in one of like the defensive player of the year finalists for it to be an acceptable trade. And that's not going to happen. So this conversation needs to be, how can we make sure that Hassan Reddick stays in Philadelphia?
Yeah, no, you're right. That is absolutely the key thing that needs to
happen. That's a good take, by the way, Johnny. I want to remember that.
Yeah. Okay. Remember that. You better not note that down. So the other player was Terrell Lewis, who is one of the futures free agents that they signed at right after the season. 6'5", 262-pound edge rusher from Alabama, was a third-round pick in 2020. Same as Okwara was a 2020 draft pick as well, higher draft pick as well. So, you know, they're taking shots on these guys. Can these guys turn into something? Potentially.
Which is great. I hope they turn into something.
You just don't know, but they're taking flyers on these guys who are both – you know, young players. Lewis won't turn 26 until August. And Okwara is 26 years old. He turned in December. So he'll be 27 in late December. But again, these are guys, both third round picks in 2020, that they're taking chances on. Because, listen, you never know what you can hit on these type of players. I can go on each and every roster and show you guys that were signed late as a future or whatever it may be, signed off a team who, you know, maybe they just didn't show the full potential with the team that they were playing on, that they just need to change the scenery. And
I mean, you know, the Eagles, Reed Blankenship was undrafted and has turned into a starting safety. Now he still needs some work. The starting quarterback of the NFC champions this year was Mr. Irrelevant. And we all know Mr. Irrelevant, and you know, he didn't play great in the Super Bowl. But again, you're going to need to hit on some of these late-level guys. But it does not change the fact that when it comes to elite talent, you know what it looks like. You have it on your team. You do everything you can to keep it there.
No, you're right. And then another thing I want to bring up, and it's in regards of, before we get to our stay or go free agents, I'll give you your time to pull that up. I just want to mention this, and it has to do with the moves that were made by the Chicago Bears today. Mm-hmm. The Chicago Bears released former Pro Bowl guard Cody Whitehair and safety Eddie Jackson. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to put it to you like this. Eddie Jackson, just like Zach Pascal years prior, was basically destined to be a Philadelphia Eagle when you look at it with the connections and the ties. Eddie Jackson was drafted in 2017 with Vic Fangio. Eddie Jackson needs to be a Philadelphia Eagle. And with that, unfortunately, I think you need to cut Kevin Byard. You did get him for a trade, but cut Kevin Byard saves you a big cap money.
Yeah.
The other thing with Eddie Jackson is Eddie Jackson won't cost you a compensatory pick because he was cut. Also, he will not cost you a ton of money because he is, again, a veteran free agent released. He's not going to cost you the top level safety free agent. And I'm not saying that they can't sign a safety free agent as well, a younger guy. But to me, Sidney Brown being hurt, Eddie Jackson should be a Philadelphia Eagle. And Kevin Byard, unfortunately, I believe, is a cap casualty.
Yeah, I think that by that point, it may have been too far gone. But when you added Kevin Byard, you saw a change in the defense. I remember being excited that we got the guy. But you saw a kind of more laissez-faire, lackadaisical defense intensity. And I'm not necessarily going to throw that on Kevin Byard. I'm going to throw that on, you know, Sean Desai and an inability to effectively communicate what he wanted his defense to do. But again, at the same time, I'm not heartbroken if Kevin Byard is not back on this team. I'm not heartbroken if James Bradberry is not back on this team. These are guys who were ineffective. They were on kind of prove it years, you know, their old team doesn't want them. Then they re-get, you know, they sign James Bradberry after they pivot from CJ Gardner-Johnson last year. I just think that these are guys that don't necessarily fit that Philadelphia mold. Now, Eddie Jackson played tough in Chicago. I mean, I like that move. I think that's a quality move. And again, you mentioned, you know, we have guys coming off of injured reserve. We have, you know, I mean, Sidney played amazing this year, considering where he was and what we expected out of him this year. And you've got these guys on future contracts, and all that is wonderful. I just think that certain guys that were supposed to elevate the defense fell way short. Yeah. And that's what that levels thing I keep talking about.
No, and you're right. You know, Eddie Jackson has had some, you know, issues with staying healthy in recent years. He's only played 12 games the last 2 years and 14 games in 2021.
He'll fit right in. That's great.
Yeah. And he had 4 interceptions in 2022, an interception last year. You know, in he had 12 games. So listen, he's not the all-pro Pro Bowler he was back in 2018, 2019. Again, 2018 was Vic Fangio's defense, and 2017 was as well. You know, it's a familiarity thing. Sometimes, you know, change of scenery. He is a veteran. You need that veteran in the secondary. I understand Kevin Byard is a veteran, you know, people say give him an all season. Let's see what he can do. But again, he's not coming back on this team at his cap number. Yeah. He's going to probably be a cap casualty or a restructure, depending on what they do. But for me, I think Eddie Jackson should be signed, and Kevin Byard, unfortunately, is going to be a cap casualty. That in my eyes, that's what I think, you know, helps this defense in getting another veteran. They're both the same age, and of course, free agency and draft, you have to, you know, draft defense and improve the positions, the holes that you have on defense. But for me, Eddie Jackson should be a Philadelphia Eagle.
And I think that the other thing that, you know, requires just the slightest of mention is you look at the last offseason where Jonathan Gannon was on his way out. Even during Super Bowl week, our season went very late. Okay, so then he leaves. So then they got to get the next guy in. Okay, so now you've got the next guy in and you're learning the new scheme. And then you're adding guys really late. You know, Bradberry, he's a late addition adding with the re-signing. You know, you're adding Kevin Byard in the middle of the season. You're adding Cunningham in the middle of the season. So these are guys that are kind of late addition, not middle of the season, towards the end of the preseason. I'm sorry. They take some time to learn the scheme. So for me, I think the Eagles do need to be a little more aggressive when it comes to the free agency class and get these guys in here early to work with Vic Fangio, learn the scheme so that the unit as a whole is cohesive.
Yeah. And, you know, speaking of free agents, you and I did our stay or go free agent list on who we think, basically what I'm showing, what we're going to be showing here on the graphic is our stay list. Basically the guys that we would like to keep on this Philadelphia Eagles team. You can always check to see what the full Eagles free agents are. But
there's a lot of them.
Yeah, for me, Brandon Graham, I know he did say he wanted to play one more season as like a send-off season, his 15th year. I think that's something the Eagles should do. He's not going to cost you a ton of money. I think, you know, give him a farewell tour. He deserves it. The most games played in Philadelphia Eagles history. I'd love to have him back. DeAndre Swift, I have him as well. I know the running back market, there's going to be a ton of players available. And I didn't also see today that potentially Joe Mixon may be out in Cincinnati, which adds another, potentially going to add another player to the free agent market with running backs. The running back market is going to be super top heavy, but if the Eagles are able... With it being that heavy, if the Eagles are able to get DeAndre Swift on not a top dollar contract and able to get him at the level they want to get him, I think
and a local discount and a local discount, he wants to be here,
and I think he would do really great because if you look at Kellen Moore and what Tony Pollard did in his offense to what Tony Pollard did this year, I think DeAndre Swift can have the effect that Tony Pollard had in the 2021-2022. And be a game changer for the Eagles offense. Sua Opeta, just a, you know, a depth guard. You do need depth, especially if Jason Kelce does in fact retire. You need the veterans who know the system, who's been here. He's not going to cost you a ton of money. So I definitely have him there. Alamide Zaccheaus, backup receiver. Quez Watkins will not be back on the team, in my opinion. Alamide Zaccheaus, I thought, did a pretty good job when he was asked to step in there. And if he's your wide receiver four, I am totally fine with that. It fits to what they need. I think they need to add a wide receiver three, whether in the draft or in free agency as a veteran. But Zacchaeus is a veteran, can give you wide receiver four reps. He can be wide receiver three if you really need to. In a pinch, I think he'd be a great addition to come back. The bottom three, I'll just make that quick before I get to the one right after Zacchaeus there. Rick Lovato, the long snapper, pretty simple. Just, you know, bring back the long snapper. Bring the continuity back. Braden Mann. Braden Mann did a great job after getting him after he was released from the Pittsburgh Steelers. And Jack Stoll is a restricted free agent. I don't think he's going to cost you much. Just get him back. He's your blocking tight end. He'll be your third tight end, in my opinion, on that. And then I have Zach Cunningham. Now, the way that I see it, Zach Cunningham played well. Unfortunately, had some injuries towards the end of the season. I don't think he was 100% healthy. So that kind of affected what he wanted to do on the field. And did he rush to come back sooner? I don't know. He was out a couple of weeks with the knee thing. I bring him back because he gives you that versatility, a big linebacker in the middle, can play against the run. He had a very good season. He's not going to cost you top dollar, top linebacker money, anything along the lines of that. Plus, he also has familiarity with the new Eagles linebackers coach, Bobby King. So again, there's the connection there. But that is my list.
So I really like your list, and I'll show you mine in a second. We definitely have some similarities. Judging kind of just off your list, ones that we definitely have different. I do not bring back, I'll start from the bottom, Jack Stoll. Yes, you said restricted free agent. So unless somebody reaches out and wants a guy who can't actually do tight end related things, he will be back. But for me, the tight end room outside of Dallas Goedert, who played pretty well, and I think will actually play exceptional under Kellen Moore's offensive scheme. Jack Stoll just isn't it. And you can get a guy who can block. You can get a guy who can catch, you know, 2-3 passes a year. And you don't necessarily need him. So he was actually kind of an afterthought for me. Braden Mann, you know, I'm the biggest punter thumper there is. He played really well. He was a fantastic addition for us. And, you know, he's definitely better than Aaron Swipes. For me, I think that he'll still be available when you're ready to roll in, you know, late July, early August. So sign him then if needed. But see what else is out
there. This is where I disagree with you on that.
I know. You think he's going to end up in Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh released their punter who had a horrible season.
Awful.
And they got rid of the wrong punter. So their aspect of it is, let's get rid of the punter now. Let's save some money.
Which, in my mind, says they are going to pay Braden Mann more money than the Eagles should be willing to pay a punter.
We'll have to see about that. But again, Braden Mann had a great season. I don't want to sign a guy or get a guy, and it turns into the Sipos thing all over again.
Agreed. You know, agreed. That. The Eagles haven't recovered since they let Cameron Johnston walk.
Yeah. And again, you're not going to be able to just to pick anybody up. We've seen this already.
Murder Leg is available.
Yeah. Well, I don't know.
And cleared.
I'm just saying, I don't know. I just think, to me, Braden Mann, to just let him go off the season he had for you, I think that'd be a big mistake.
And for me, Cunningham, I mean, you mentioned the injuries. We if we're going to rely on defensive players, they can't be more injury prone. I mean, we saw his career kind of fizzle out over in Indianapolis. Then he came here, he gets injured a little bit. So for me, Cunningham is a, he's not of the caliber of linebacker that I need from a starting linebacker on the Philadelphia Eagles. That's why I'm willing to let him walk. Okay. So here's my list. My list is a little more Homer happy for sure. I keep Fletcher Cox if he wants to play because he's Fletcher Cox. I keep Brandon Graham because he's Brandon Graham. AAT Birds, you know, released a story a little while ago that says that Jordan Mailata thinks there's no way that Jason Kelce plays. Again, I mean, I want to see Jason Kelce back, but again, we'll see now that he's recovering from his Super Bowl hangover. I agree. DeAndre Swift absolutely needs to be on this team. He was underutilized somehow this year, and he was still exceptional. DeAndre Swift is that, you know, slash quick back that has always been successful this century with the Philadelphia Eagles, whether it be your Brian Westbrook type player, whether it be your LeSean McCoy type player. DeAndre Swift is of that elk. I don't necessarily want to keep Boston Scott. I just don't think that they're going to get rid of him because we play the New York Giants twice a year. Justin Evans. Then I kind of go into some special teams land. So Justin Evans, he's a young kid.
Always injured. You just always said about injured.
Always injured, but again, very, very cheap. I think Zach Cunningham is going to be a lot of money to bring for a line, for a starting linebacker, whereas Justin Evans, as a special teams guy, you throw him $1 million or $2 and you call it a day. Sua Peta for depth. I think that Nick Morrow, again, is some depth in your special teams. I don't think he is of the ilk where you need him in your linebacking core, but you need him for special teams. Lovato will be back. Jack Driscoll will be back. Sean Bradley falls into that same ilk of depth of linebacker for special teams. And yes, I am doing a show while standing up is some new-ish. I'm doing what I can to, Peanut, I'm doing what I can to, you know, try and stay fit in this offseason. So that's my list. Johnny, you had some thoughts that you were not willing to share with me in the green room. Go ahead.
Before I get to it, I did mention to Chip before, it looks like it's our view of what the urinal cake sees when Chip is taking a nice number one.
Yeah, it's a great view.
Yeah, if you say so.
I do say so.
Get your magnifying glasses.
Wow. Okay.
So when you take a look at this, and for me, what kind of stands out, Fletcher Cox, I was on the fence. If he's back, hey, that's great. Absolutely great. If he's not, then I think you need to get a veteran like you did last year when you got Kentavious Street, someone along the lines of that, because you know, you have Jordan Davis, you have Jalen Carter, you have Milton Williams, but you need some depth. We know that, you know, Moro Jomo's there as well, but you know, depth is always needed. Boston Scott, I just don't know if there's a role for him. And I feel like he can get a running back two job somewhere else. You know, it's a shame. I don't want to keep him.
I just don't think he's going anywhere. He's like a fungus.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying
he's like a giant fungus.
I just don't think he comes back. Justin Evans, I think once he's was injured and didn't come back, they're done there. Nick Morrow, I just think been there, done that. I'm not really sure that's they're gonna go that route. They're not gonna bring him back. Listen, they cut him and then had to re-sign him, and
right,
you know, he started off a couple games looking pretty good, but then yeah. Jack Driscoll, I could see. Let's see. For me, it was I picked one or the other from Opetta or Driscoll.
I kept them both because you've got an aging line.
Again, it's going to bring to the point where this is where you need to draft an offensive lineman or two in the draft, and maybe sign a veteran out there as well. Sean Bradley, I understand like special teams. I understand that, but Achilles injury, I'm not sure he comes back because. Remember, you're also getting Zach McPherson back, who plays special teams. You have Ben Van Sumeren, who plays special teams. Brandon Smith, the Penn State linebacker, is also a futures. He's a special teamer as well, played at a couple plays on special teams. And I think they go the route of that way. But again, it's going to be interesting to see what they do. I don't think they have the...
With special teams specifically, because they're not replacing that coordinator, I could see him having a little more say in the guys that he wants on his special teams.
Yeah, that is true. That is true. But, you know, for me, it's looking at guys like Ben Van Sumeren and Brandon Smith. I think they've kind of leapfrogged Sean Bradley, who's been in the league for 4 years. And
yeah, he has been in for a couple now.
You know, had a tough injury. But listen, it's going to be fun to see kind of how they mold this team, what direction they go with. You know, what they do with Hassan Reddick, what they do with some of these other guys that need extensions. It's going to be interesting to see how they start shaping this roster. How much say do you think Vic Fangio has in terms of what kind of personnel that he's going to want on the team? Because a guy that is that respected by Howie and Nick, and basically they thought they were going to get him last year to then get him. I think Vic Fangio is going to have some say the way this roster on defensively is built. And I think that is huge because when you have a guy of his caliber telling you who he wants and certain players that he's been there, there's a number of free agents that he has connections with.
And that are going to want to continue to play for him.
Yeah. And listen, I'm all for it. You know, give me guys who know the system. Give me guys who are playmakers. Give me guys who want to be out there and give you and actually take what is being taught to them out on that field and the brand of football that we're used to.
So let me ask you a question here. And it's kind of a two-part question. And you weren't with us last week when I had Joe on and he was looking at the, you know, some of the Senior Bowl stuff. And I asked kind of a linebacker related question. So we're talking free agency. We're talking rebuilding this team. We're talking who's going to fit into Fangio's scheme and who's expendable. You know, Peanut coming in with some great, you know, questioning here. And this kind of along those lines. So is this the year that Howie prioritizes the linebacker position, knowing how vital it is, seeing two teams in the Super Bowl and the Final Four all having quality linebackers? And this is the draft portion of the question. I asked Joe this, and he gave a really good answer, but I'm curious to know. Every year, the Philadelphia Eagles fan base finds one player in the draft class, and they harp and they harp and they harp and they go, this is the guy, this is the guy, this is the guy. And usually he doesn't fall to us. You know, a couple years ago, it was Marcus Mariota. A couple years after that, it was, you know, Micah Parsons. Is this the year that if Jeremiah Trotter Jr. is not a Philadelphia Eagle, the fan base, doesn't matter who we draft, will consider this year's draft class to be a failure?
I'm not sure it'll be a failure, all depending on who else is in the class. You know, last year, I like Joey Porter Jr.
Mm-hmm. You know, yeah, that was the guy last year. Yep.
You know, Penn State guy. I liked him as a prospect. They didn't get him. Went to Pittsburgh. The whole lineage there with him right. And his dad. And he had a great season. If Trotter Jr. isn't selected, it'll be tough. I would mm-hmm. say that because I'd love to see him on the Eagles. And before I dive a little deeper into it, I do want to mention this. I've seen some people say, well, N'Kobe Dean and Trotter, you know, they're so undersized. You can't play with those two undersized guys. So N'Kobe Dean is 5'11", a little over 5'11", and 231, I believe. Okay. And Jeremiah Trotter Jr. is his page says 6'2", 230. You'll get a real measurement at the combine. And I say, well, why can't that work? Because when you look at a team like the Baltimore Ravens, who has Patrick Queen, who is 6 foot and 227, 228, and you have a guy like Roquan Smith, who's 6'7", 236 pounds. You know, you don't have to be 6'2", 6'3", 250 pound linebackers anymore. It's just, that's not the way the football is being played. So I think they can play together. But for me, looking at it, you can't say that they haven't tried to draft linebacker the last couple of years. Cause remember in 2020, they drafted in the third round, Davion Taylor. Again, that was a miss.
Agreed.
Overdrafted him. They drafted N'Kobe Dean in the third round after he fell and everyone thought that was, you know, a huge hit. Now he can't stay healthy. Do they go and they draft somebody in the second round or the third round? I think most likely, and you could put it here, I think the Eagles will draft a safety and a linebacker high. I think they're going to go away from let's draft a bunch of defense and offensive linemen early. Not saying they don't do that in the first round, but mark it down. The Eagles will draft a safety. You can even say safety, corner, or linebacker in the first three rounds. They're going to be a combination of the two of those drafted by the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah, and I tend to agree. And again, you know, Pina saying this year's Super Bowl will prove that great defensive backs and great defensive coordinators are game changers is Howie right by not prioritizing linebackers. I think that whatever you do, and this is kind of the point of the whole show we've talked about, whatever you do, you have to have excellence somewhere, right? So we spent a lot of time already tonight talking about whether or not Hassan Reddick should still be on the team. He is excellent. You got to keep him there. And then as you get to the second and third level, there has to be excellence somewhere. And right now, this Eagles team, whether it is a lack of excellence or a lack of coordination of what they have, it's just not cutting it. So we've been clamoring for years of the need for linebackers. And maybe we're right, maybe we're wrong. But I can tell you the way we got run over this year, it matters. The way that tight ends are consistently successful against the Philadelphia Eagles, going back a couple of years, is a problem. So to me, the solution is get good linebackers.
No, they have to. You have to prioritize that position because it is a key staple in the Vic Fangio defense.
Integral.
So listen, I think they will prioritize linebacker. I think sometimes Howie overcorrects situations that happened a year prior. But if the overcorrection is actually drafting safeties and linebackers and corners potentially earlier in the draft, then just going offensive defensive lines and basically playing it safe. Listen, I'll be all for it because I think there needs to be a little bit of a change in type of philosophy that they like to build the team and build upon. I'm not saying go totally away from the way you build a team. That's not what I'm saying, but a little bit of a shift in the philosophy of the way that they draft and the way that they build this team, because I think you need to start getting younger in the back end and drafting a safety. I think the last safety that they drafted, I'm trying to think early, like in the top two rounds or top three rounds, maybe top two rounds, the last second round safety, I believe, was Jaquan Jarrett. Yeah. I may have to check up on that, but I'm thinking that that's who it was, because before that it was Nate Allen that they drafted. So listen, they've done it, but it's been a very long time. And hey, listen, they did draft linebackers in Jordan Hicks in the third round. Chip drafted him, and they drafted Michael Kendricks in 2012. And he drafted him in the second round instead of Russell Wilson. But, listen, they do prioritize. It's sporadically. They haven't in a little bit, but they have a lot of picks this year. I think definitely they need to go ahead and prioritize that position.
But you can't, those positions. You can't rely on picks to solve the problem. You has to be a balance of all of it. Free agents, better coaching of the guys you already have, and making the right draft picks. The first move I make to change the defensive personnel, Bradbury's gone.
Yeah. I think, well, you may have to wait until after, you can cut them and then just mark it. You can mark two guys as a post June 1 cut.
Yeah, Bradbury's gone.
I think Bradbury, you just saw the slip in production, and just, he's a great guy, but I think it just needs to give the younger kids an opportunity, whether it's Kelee Ringo, whether it's Isaiah Rogers, who also is added to the team.
You're very high on him. I'm curious to see how he's going to perform next year.
Listen, I like his, I know he's away from the game for a year, but I really like what I've seen from him as a Colts player. My cousin's a Colts fan, you know, talking with him about him, you know, he's an absolute game changer in the return game, kick returner. I know you don't get many kick returns, but it's still another dimension. You never know in terms of being able to use him there, but also he had a really good season. And
yeah,
for the Colts before everything went down. So, and he's still young. It's not like he's 30 years old. He's 26 years old. So it should be fun to see him. You have Kelee Ringo. Do they draft a corner? Do they sign a high profile corner? It's going to be interesting, and we'll be here to break it all down. Free agency is just about less than a month away. So it's going to be fun. Now, next week, it's going to be a fun episode. We have Rob Motti coming on.
Love me some Associated Rob.
Press. He was at the Super Bowl. He was everywhere there. Maybe we can kind of dive a little bit into the Super Bowl with him, but I also want to talk a little bit about the Eagles kind of collapse and get a little insight from him with that and what he sees for the Eagles moving forward in this offseason.
Yeah.
And the coaching staff and the coaching hires. Get a little bit of everything. A potpourri episode.
Cornucopia of knowledge, if you will.
Yeah, exactly. but that should be fun. But this was a fun episode, kind of talking a little bit about what the Eagles should do with Reddick and all the free agents. But again, you can follow us at AET Birds on our Twitter, on our Instagram, and also on our TikTok. So we just started doing that, post some highlights, post some things there. Just trying to stay connected with everybody,
with the youth.
Exactly. And of course you could check us out at AET Sports Network on Facebook as well. But listen, you know, hit that subscribe button. Know when we go live, get all the info that you need. We have some fun stuff planned this off season, this summer. So stay tuned and you'll be informed. So with that, We always end it with two special words.
Go Birds.
Go Birds.
This is Matt Ware. Hey, for all the Eagle content you need, go follow All About the Birds. They do a damn thing. Check them out.
Hey, Eagles fans. I may be in Tampa, but I know where to find the best Eagles content out there. Check out my friends at All About the Birds.
Philadelphia, what's up? This is your boy Freddie Mitchell, a.k.a. Fred X. It's All About the Birds.
All birds all the time.
All birds all the time.
All About the Birds provides you with weekly analysis, game recaps, informative interviews, and it's all birds all the time.